It's my pleasure to introduce Vernon Nelson, the Lead and Asbestos Regulatory Chief, who will be giving a talk today talking about the asbestos regulatory program with the Vermont Department of Health. I also wanted to just remind everybody that the next two educational sessions will be drinking water on June 16th. And Lyme disease on July 21st. And so with that, Vernon, please take it away. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Vernon Nelson, the Asbestos and Lead Regulatory Program Chief, and this is the second part of the Asbestos and Lead Regulatory Program discussion that I mentioned to you on March 17th. And today I will be discussing issues related specifically to asbestos. And again, I'll give a brief staff overview of myself. Next slide, that of the staff personnel, myself being the program manager. Lindsay Wells is a program specialist who handles licensing and certifications for asbestos and lead. Andrew Sherverfield, who is the program engineer who handles permits and compliance inspections and technical assistance. Next page. Today, generally, we're going to talk about 10 to 12 minutes about what you should know as town health officers in regards to asbestos. And we'll have some time after the general presentation for question and answers following the general information that I'm going to present to you. Next page. We're on page four now. The topics today will cover background health effects, regulatory requirements, and I'll give you some photographic examples of asbestos that you might observe in your routine duties. Next page. The town health officers may encounter asbestos issues and routine duties in following ways. Tips, complaints, and public inquiries. You may have to respond to rental tenant reports of suspect health hazards or neighboring properties near renovation or construction activity associated with public buildings. All of these things might generate an inquiry to you that you will have to be somewhat informed and respond to. Next page. So let's talk first about what is asbestos. Asbestos is a naturally occurring mineral. It has many beneficial properties. It's relatively cheap, chemical resistant, fire resistant, low conductivity. It can be a health hazard when it is inhaled. And the three most common types are chrysotile, amosite, or chrysotolite. Next page. The history of asbestos, it goes way back in time. It was used by the Greeks and Romans and the Chinese. First commercially mined in North America and Canada, Quebec, 1870. And it's been used since the 1940s, primarily in steam and boiler pipes. And in World War II, those uses were expanded to other uses, up to about 3,000 different materials and construction materials. And that type of use peaked out in the 1970s. Generally, there has been a phase down of asbestos-containing materials in U.S. manufacturing, but it has not been banned, as some people believe. And some uses are actually still allowed by government regulations. A bit more background on asbestos. The fibers that come from the minerals are long, thin fibers that break down indefinitely. And when they're physically impacted in construction, it can cause problems. It's primarily mined, again, in Canada, Russia, South America, South Africa, and it is sometimes still imported into the U.S. So next slide, please. We're at what is ACM, or asbestos-containing materials. It's also known as asbestos-containing building materials. Any material containing more than 1% asbestos by weight is considered asbestos-containing materials, and it can be friable or non-friable. And, of course, friable equals able to crush or reduce to powder under pressure, normal hand pressure, or physical impact such as sawing, drilling, or braiding and sanding. And, of course, non-friable is just simply that it's hard materials such as cement types, which I will give you some examples of later in the presentation. Next slide. Why is asbestos harmful? When disturbed, it can break down into sharp fibers, small fibers that are small enough to be inhaled. The fibers lodge in the lungs and do not dissolve. The brown and blue asbestos can be even more hazardous than the white asbestos, and inhaling asbestos fibers can lead to three main diseases: asbestosis, lung cancer, and mesothelioma. Next slide. The health risk, it's simply that it is when inhaled, it can cause health problems or disease issues, and they become lodged and generally are not cleared from the body. And the asbestos-related diseases do cover respiratory and some rare forms of cancer. Next slide. Additionally, on health effects, there is a long latency period for asbestos exposure. Small fibers are particularly respiratory hazards, and smoking in combination with asbestos exposure can have a synergistic effect. Next slide. A bit more on asbestos-related diseases: asbestosis, scarring of the lungs, lung cancer, mesothelioma, which is a cancer of chest, pleural or abdominal, peritoneal cavity, pleural plaque, lesions in chest walls or pleural effusion, fluid linings of the lungs. Next slide. The physical properties of asbestos. It's chemical resistant, bacterial resistant, generally it has incombustibility, good thermal and electrical insulators, it's good acoustic insulator, tensile strength is close to that of steel, it has good flexibility, it's abundant in nature, it's inexpensive and virtually indestructive. Next slide. When is asbestos a risk to health? Well, you must consider the type of products or building materials that it's present in, how well the material is bonded into it, and whether or not it's likely to contain small or large amounts of asbestos, and consider the conditions: good, sealed, painted, damaged, or the extent of that damage. Next slide. Why is asbestos still a problem? Between 1940s and the 1980s approximately, the use extensively in the United States as a building materials. Some of these uses are banned in the 1980s, but thousands of tons of asbestos still remains in buildings, homes, commercial and industrial applications. About 4 to 5 million non-domestic premises may contain asbestos in the United States currently. Next slide. Asbestos products that some of you may be familiar with includes asbestos cement. It was specced into cement. Sheets or flat or corrugated materials such as roofing, walls, ceiling panels, partitions, bath panels, under stairs, door linings, cladding to ducts, etc. Flues from boilers and water and heater systems, rainwater pipes or guttering, water storage tanks, decorative plaster finishes, floor tiles, car parts, brake clutch, etc. Next slide. More asbestos products include insulating boards, ceiling panels, ceiling tiles, wall panel partitioning, soffits, internal or external door linings, fire doors, particularly heating unit cupboards, and cladding to ducts. Next slide. Which types of asbestos on premise may have asbestos? The answer is any type may have asbestos, most common in pre-1988 applications. Therefore, schools, factories, offices, farms, hospitals, all have been found to have asbestos present in construction materials. Next slide. It's also very common in schools and residential applications. Therefore, electrical insulation, common floor tiles, paper, cardboard, decorative texture coatings, pipe laggings, boiler insulation, and acoustic tiles are common applications that you will find in homes or schools. Next slide. Why and when people are at risk? Asbestos is most harmful if fibers are released into the air. Therefore, it takes a physical impact on the material to render it small enough in a particle so that it can become airborne there and thus be inhaled. So cutting, machinery, removal, drilling, sawing, replacement, unintentional damage can all release fibers. People may have been unknowingly exposed to asbestos as well. Previous regulations did not cover those people who come into contact with asbestos unknowingly because it only covered occupational. So general exposure risk generally hasn't had a regulatory framework. Next slide. Who is usually at risk? Well, the whole array of people who may be doing maintenance, repairs, or construction, and I've listed those general categories here, but as you can see, it crosses all construction maintenance trades that you may find associated with maintaining, constructing, renovating building systems. And that includes homeowners and the general public. Next slide. The uses in construction, thousands, literally thousands of those uses. Over 3,000 known products have been used in to contain asbestos in construction. Those cover a very broad range of products, and I've listed a few of those here on this slide, but as you can see, it covers most common building materials that are not standardly glass, unfinished wood, or metal. And in some cases, finished materials on those substrates could also be asbestos. Next slide. So we're going to talk a little bit about the asbestos regulations. We have the Vermont Regulations for Asbestos Control for abatement, training, licensing, and permitting related to asbestos abatement. We have the Agency of Natural Resources that regulates the waste disposal associated with asbestos. We have Vermont VOSHA, which regulates occupational health and safety. And we have the US EPA. And those are the primary regulators, but there are also others in terms of some consumer products and those types. But these are the primary that we will encounter in terms of the health department or things you may be involved in as a health officer. Talk a bit of, next slide. To talk a bit about Vermont regulations for asbestos control, it requires an inspection before demolition or renovation. All friable asbestos must be removed prior to demolition. A 10-day advance notification and permit if the quantity is 10 square feet or 10 linear feet or more. A courtesy notification to the health department is required if it is a small-scale, short-duration removal, cleanup, or abatement between 3 square feet and 10 linear feet. The Vermont Regulations for Asbestos Control, or commonly referred to as VRAC, also requires the disposal documentation or manifest to be received to the department within 30 days of completion of an abatement project. In closing on this slide, asbestos-containing materials should be adequately wet at the point of disturbance to final disposal, and there should be no visible emissions from physical disturbances. Next slide. Further on Vermont regulations for asbestos control, there is a conditional regulatory exemption for specific asbestos-containing materials. I wanted to cover those with you because you may very well encounter this, and I wanted to explain it to some detail. So we're talking about exemptions for the low-risk types of asbestos. Those are vinyl asbestos flooring and mastics or adhesives, exterior asbestos roofing and siding materials, exterior asbestos cement piping, exterior asbestos transite piping, asbestos cement boards or panels in open-air buildings, and asbestos transite boards in agricultural barns. These materials have conditional provisions for exemptions from the requirements for permit or licensed asbestos removal contractor, which means any general contractor can remove these materials as long as they remove them in accordance with the conditional requirements in the regulation. Next slide. Those conditional requirements are, for Section 6 exemption, unexpected work practices. The material will be adequately wet at all times. No excessive breakage, drilling, sawing, sanding, or otherwise abrading in a manner that generates dust. The contractor or parties doing the work should be in compliance with worker safety regulations. Proper cleanup, packaging, labeling, transportations, and disposal in accordance with the Vermont State Waste Management requirements. Next slide. This slide is about the EPA regulations for asbestos, which generally picks up and shadows the state regulations, but specifically kicks in when there is a impact of greater than 160 square feet or 260 linear feet, and inspection is required before demolition or renovation, as it does in the state regulations. All friable asbestos must be removed prior to demolition. Disposal manifest copies should be maintained, and the material should be adequately wet and no visible emissions from the work activity. Next slide. Further, the asbestos regulations for EPA covers schools, in all public schools and nonprofit schools, applies to K through 12, requires 3-year reinspection, 6 months surveillance, management plans, annual notifications to parents, students, and teachers, and established employee training standards under the federal EPA regulations. Next slide. The categories of ACM, more than 1%, those categories being friable and non-friable, with the EPA categories being specific types of asbestos, surfacing, sprayed, or trialed on, thermal systems, insulations, and all other types are considered miscellaneous materials. Next slide. OSHA regulations for worker protection covers general industry and construction. There are permissible exposure limits for the amount of asbestos an employee can be exposed to. There are employee monitoring requirements. There are work practices and training requirements. And I mentioned this specifically because if there is a contractor doing Section 6 removal under this regulations, they should be meeting these requirements under the OSHA regulations for worker protection. Next slide. I wanted to speak briefly about instrumental analysis required to determine if asbestos is present. One of the choices is polarized light microscopy for the analysis of a bulk sample. It's a relatively inexpensive method, and it's usually the method of choice for analysis when a licensed inspector collects a sample for analysis. Transmission electron microscopy is used for specific projects such as air clearances in schools and to analyze more complex matrices such as negative determinations for non-friable organically bound asbestos. And phase contrast microscopy is used only for air sampling analysis of airborne fibers. Next slide. Vermont regulations for asbestos control requirements, I want to talk a little bit about that. For demolition renovation, there must be an inspection by an EPA certified inspector. For abatement, that meaning removal, management, and controls are necessary when the subject of asbestos is to be impacted by general construction. So you either have to remove it or manage it in the course of the construction. Copies of disposal manifests and notifications and forms should be maintained in the files. Now, next slide. I've just bring to your attention here, and we're going to go through these rather rapidly, but we're going to go through a series of photographs. This is a paint coating that has an asbestos content on a brick wall, just to show you examples of what you will be occasionally encountering. And you can't tell by looking. These materials actually have to be sampled and analyzed in order to know that there's asbestos actually in that paint coating. Next slide is an example of a fireproof filing cabinet where asbestos is in the walls and the doors of that cabinet. And it's usually about an 80% asbestos content in those circumstances. And it's usually in fairly old cabinet, as you can see by the picture. Next slide. This is an example of a textured ceiling. And you might be able to see in the picture where the textured ceiling is actually cracking and beginning to delaminate from perhaps water damage or stress damage above that ceiling. This is the type of thing that will eventually crack and fall or delaminate. And what you might encounter in an apartment or tenant kind of a complaint if somebody were to complain. And this is an example of one of those circumstances. Next slide is an example of simply a pipe insulation on a mechanical system in a basement. Next slide is boiler has been removed, thermal systems remains. You see they left their pipe wrenches as well, but we see the debris that everything that was taken off of the boiler was essentially left in the pit, and the pipes were cut. And boiler's gone, asbestos is still there. We tend to encounter those kinds of things in a lot in removals that may have taken place a long time ago, and all of a sudden the owner goes, what's this pile of debris in my basement, and I need to get rid of it. So we encounter those kind of things routinely on an annual basis. Next slide. And another example of damaged textured ceiling, you can see where some of it is peeled off, some of it is beginning to peel off, and you can see a ring of water damage there. Next slide is an example of fireproofing on structural systems. Next slide is general piping insulation with a pressure water valve attached to it, and you can see various conditions of damage and deterioration. Next slide is a troweled on damaged delaminated ceiling that's beginning to peel off and fall. This thickness on this trowel ceiling is usually about a half an inch thick, and it's quite a bit of weight. So as soon as it begins to lose its adherence, vibration tends to shake these things, and they begin to delaminate and fall. And when they do become dislodged and fall, that's when it's usually going to be a a complaint or a cleanup problem that should be handled by a licensed asbestos contractor. Next slide. Another example of textured coating and damaged ceilings. And I put these types of pictures in there because I'm trying to select the things that I'm anticipating are going to be the most common kinds of things that you may encounter as town health officers. Another example, next slide, is a piping insulation where you can see that the asbestos is basically lost or gone or removed and falling apart in a common basement. Next slide, additional damaged thermal system insulation where you see the white fluffy stuff coming through the tar maastric wraps that are no longer intact. This would not be considered intact material. This would be considered damaged, needing repair by a licensed lead abatement, asbestos abatement contractor. Next slide is just an example of floor tile. That's a school picture. Next slide is roofing shingles that are fairly common. Next slide is another example of two different types of floor tiles, and I put this here to say that when you look at a sample like this or a spot like this, there would be at least two different samples of floor tiles instead of just one. Each color is a different analysis and sample. Next slide is an example of what's behind the wall when you take the tile out or you break the tile to do plumbing work in the bathroom. It's actually built into the walls, and you can't discover those things until you open the wall to determine that it's there. Next slide is an example of thermal system insulation that's damaged and deteriorated. So I've given you several pictures there of examples of what you might see or encounter and what you may be taking pictures of to show us when you're calling us to ask for assistance or with complaint investigations. The asbestos and lead regulatory program staff may ask the town health office to assist with investigating possible health hazards or risk within the municipality or town jurisdiction that you serve. Taking action to prevent or remove or destroy any such hazards is what we're going to be asking for your immediate assistance on. Taking action to mitigate public health risk and enforcing laws, rules, permits, etc. I will add here that it's your local presence that we value, and oftentimes with tips or complaints, you are either calling us because you've gotten an inquiry or we're calling you because we have a phone call and we need a local set of eyes. One thing I want to make clear is we're not asking you to go into a situation to risk exposure to asbestos, but simply help us to begin investigations to collect the names, contact information, specific facts that are relevant, because that's really valuable information when we initiate the investigations of tips or complaints. And if possible, health orders will be very useful when it's necessary to order a stop of activity or work activities so that we can get in place for the appropriate inspection assessments or other recommendations. Next slide. We may further ask you as health officers relating to tips and complaints to provide assistance to the regulatory program staff to do a site visit for just face-to-face, who's there, who's the owner, record that information and report it to us if possible, or if you're going to call us for technical assistance, try to have as much factual information as you can when you're going to hand the matter off to us. And we may very well be asking you to assist with health orders or status reports of current conditions for follow-up. And these are the types of things that we may be asking your assistance on. Further example of that is that it's the typical scenario that I've described before. On the day of a tip or complaint, we may be calling you, or you may be calling us here in the Asbestos and Lead Regulatory Program. And following that first initial contact, we certainly don't expect you to have further involvement with sites, because we're going to try to mobilize when it's something other than a tenant complaint, such as commercial, industrial, or public building. The health department, we will respond to those notable circumstances, and your initial assistance will be useful, but we will certainly be picking the ball up on those kinds of referrals for asbestos regulatory issues. And we're open to providing you whatever technical assistance and guidance and insight that we can into your questions as well as whatever information you need for your constituents. So, as I've mentioned previously, next slide, useful tools for you to consider and have. Your field inspection forms where you can record the facts and the information to give to us. A digital camera so you can take a picture to send us, because a picture is worth a thousand words, and it also oftentimes helps us do considerable amounts of communications with specific circumstances. And, of course, your power to actually issue a health order is more valuable than gold to us here in the program. So the town officer may receive tips or complaints, and you may have to recommend inspection, testing, or assessment. There are a series of fact sheets listed at the health department's website and a list of licensed asbestos service providers online, and I provided the link here. All of the useful education outreach materials that we would give out to the public, that you would need to give out to the public for disseminating information and allaying fears, will be available at that website. So that's the conclusion of the informational presentation. I've listed also on the last page the website emails and phone number for the health department, as well as an email contact for US EPA. So with that, I open the floor to take your questions and other discussion. Thank you.
I have a question, and my question is, if as the town health officer, I am approached by a member of the public, and they ask me what permits they need to get before they do their demolition and renovation, what should I tell them in regards to any permits or inspections they need that relate to the asbestos and lead regulatory program?
You should tell them they should have their facility inspected for the presence of asbestos by a licensed asbestos inspector. Based on the findings of that report, it will determine whether or not a permit for asbestos removal is required by the Asbestos and Lead Regulatory Program or the Vermont Regulation for Asbestos Control.
And if they ask you in regards to lead in their house, is there a permit that they need for that?
There is no permit required for lead unless the intention is lead abatement by a contractor.
How do you recommend a town health officer stop work if they're concerned that they might not have the appropriate asbestos permit, or they might not have done the appropriate notification to the department?
I would recommend that the health officer use the basic method of human communications and asking the parties to stop what they're doing until the answers to the question of whether or not asbestos is present or whether or not an inspection has occurred. It would be simple communications of ask them to stop, and doing so in the most tactful or diplomatic manner possible. If there is resistance to tactful diplomatic communications, then we must move to a more formal process. And that, by that I mean health orders or written documented request.
What is the best phone number, and can you say it aloud, for someone to call, a town health officer to call, if they have questions or need assistance with an asbestos related issue?
It's the toll free number 1-800-439-8550. You will find a decision tree for you to choose the target group for your question, and if you follow the instructions on that phone call, you will find asbestos related regulatory issues or technical questions. Any additional questions or comments?
If no, then we will go ahead and conclude this session. And again, I just wanted to remind everybody, our next one will be June 16th, and will be on drinking water, and we will cover both private and public drinking water at that time. And then following that, we will be doing a Lyme disease presentation on July 21st. Thank you very much for calling in, and please check the website frequently.